Those of you who missed the concert last night, I just have to tell you, it was an amazing time. It was a time of doing Christmas, you know, right after Thanksgiving, which was such a treat. But more than that, the way they brought it down in the second half, there's no way you could have sat in that place and not worshiped. There's just no way. I kept listening to Grady and those guys and everything they were doing, but in the end, all I could think of was, Lord Jesus, thank you. I mean, that's all I could think about was, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing for us. Chuck, do me a favor. Where are you at? Well, I can't hear me, so would you turn it up just as...
We can hear really well.
Okay, but it's my throat.
Well, just trust it.
Just a smidgeon.
You want my hearing aids?
No. Here, Lynette's got hearing aids now, so now I got to be real careful what I say.
Really loud now.
I am amazed. No, it's not. It's fine. I am amazed. I am amazed how a caterpillar can become a butterfly. That just amazes me. To be transformed into something completely different than what it was before. Now, what I don't understand is when those bagworms get on your trees, why it takes so long when you put the fire to them for them to really disintegrate? But well, if you'd hush up, you'll find out. Thank you. Now, transformation. This is what Peter's talking about. The transformation that takes place in a believer's life. So let's look at it. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and then I put the qualities in that are in the verse above that, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. Add to that godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now stop there a second, because this is key. We can know God. This isn't just about God knowing us. God's part's already taken care of. If I'm a Christian, God knows me. I'm in his book. He wrote me in his book. He knows me. But you know what we have to come to in this transformation process is that we can know God. This whole business of Christianity is about what? Knowing God. It's not about what's God going to do for me while I'm living here till I get to heaven. It's about I can know God. Now, it goes on to say this. But if anyone does not have them, they are nearsighted and blind and have forgotten that they've been cleansed from their past sins. When the enemy attacks us, he's always going to come after what? Your past. Your past might have been an hour ago, but he's always coming after your past, okay? Therefore, my brothers, okay, be more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. If you are adding and adding and adding and adding all these things in your life, you are not going to fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is nothing more fun than finishing a job you've accomplished or you started. For us, we spent Monday and Tuesday loading Andrew up in a big old 26-foot long trailer kind of thing, U-Haul truck. And it took 5.5 hours to go 4 hours in this big truck. We drove that thing up here. And then we unloaded it into a storage unit. And when it was done, I was done. I was done. We finished the job. Greg, when you finish a job and those people hand that check to you, there must be something inside of you that says what? Man, I'm glad that's done. But we have to have the attitude of not I'm glad that's just done. What's next? What's next? After my first year being a Christian, at the end of that first year, I just stopped and said, oh my gosh, I've grown so much in a year. In 1 year. What am I going to be like in 5 years? Hey, what will I be like in 10 years? Now, after 43 years, it's like, what can I be like tomorrow? What can I be like tomorrow? So when I got back from Cuba, you know, it was really easy to look at this great time of reflecting and rejoicing in what God accomplished through me and in me while I was there. Now, I want to say that again. There was a great fulfillment of what God had done in me and through me while I was there. So here's my question. Is it wrong to rejoice over what God did in your life for others? Is it pride? Is it wrong for you to rejoice over something you've done in somebody else's life? Is that pride? No. No, not at all. I think you ought to rejoice. In other words, if you've done something and God used you in somebody's life, or you did something to benefit somebody else's life, there ought to be something inside you that rejoices. Now, if you take credit for what God did, is that wrong? Yes, yes. Matter of fact, for me, that's something that I always have to work on, not to be willing, not to want to take credit for when God does something. You know, I just have to be real careful about that. Now, the fly in the ointment is this. Here's your first fill-in. We are never finished with doing or being what God desires to accomplish in our life. You're never going to be done. The job of reflecting Christ to the world is not a job well done. It's a continuing what? Transformation of one's life. It's the worm becoming the butterfly. It's you becoming more like Christ every day in your life. So the fill-in transformation is what we ought to be looking at in our life. What is God doing to transform me? How is God changing me every day? You know, when we're in college, and when I was in college, you know, back, you know, when they used to take the basketball out of the peach basket with the ladder, you know, when I was in college, the last thing I cared about was how was I going to become more like Christ? And we get so busy with our life, and we get so busy in doing everything we're doing. Have we ever stopped to say this? What is it that God wants to do in me today to transform me into something I need to be tomorrow? Tomorrow. Now, Satan loves to discourage us during the process. He's going to trip us up. Hey, watch this. He's usually going to trip you up with some past sin. Something that in your past you were really good at concerning sin. There were some sins I was just really good at those, even as a believer. And so what God was teaching me is this. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Now there's the key. The verse points, here's your fill-in. Verse 8 points to the ongoing, never finished aspect of transformation and surrender and service to God. You're never going to be done doing what God wants you to do. You're never going to come to a place, really as a believer, where you have a desire to be finished. Let me make that even more personal. I'll be 70 in January. Don't let this baby face fool you. My body's falling apart. people say to me, when are you going to retire? And do what? Well, you could go play golf. I get to do that now. Why in the I don't see retirement as an option for me. Now, I may scale down. I may not do the things that I used to do. But you know something for the believer? There's no retirement here. There's no sit down and sit in a field and twiddle your thumbs the rest of your life. No. You know, you may have to learn when you get to the age where you can't do everything that you wanted to do. Maybe God's going to teach you how to pray. Maybe God's going to teach you how to spend time praying with people. Spiritual growth must be a constant and ongoing process. Developing Christ-likeness in the life of a believer is every believer's responsibility. You have to be responsible to train yourself to learn how not only to know God, but you're training yourself to become whatever it is that God desires to become in you and through you while you're waiting for heaven to show up. While you're waiting for heaven to show up. You're never going to hear words like this. Well, I'm this growing in Christ. Man, I'm certainly glad I got to that goal. Man, I'm certainly glad I've reached that goal. Man, I never thought I'd get there. Well, the answer is what? You never are. But you never stop. We're growing in Christ all life. Now, there was a time before I met Lynette, I was going through a really difficult time. I was traveling and preaching and singing 25 weeks a year. I was in a slowdown mode where you go through times like November, December, dead months. I mean, basically, nobody's going to have you in during those times to preach or do whatever. You know what I mean? Usually, you might pick up a Bible conference in January. You know, you might do a banquet in February. But, you know, November, December, January, February, slow times. Well, I was struggling. And so this pastor friend of mine who I went to seminary with, he was pastoring a church, and he'd have me in almost every church. And I went to him, and I said, you know, I need you to pray for me, man. I'm really having a tough time. This waiting on God is what? Hard. It's hard. Figuring out how we're going to financially get through these next 4 months can be what? Hard. And still hard at times. And he looked at me, and here's what he said to me. Well, you know, we all got to pay our dues. We all got to pay our dues. And here was my response. You know how tender I am when I'm responding to people who I think are stupid. And I said, dues? Pay your dues? What's this, a club? Oh, I'm in the club. I'm here to pay my dues. Pay your dues? Well, what does that mean, pay your dues? This isn't a club. But for him, he thought that he what? He'd arrived. By the way, he's not in the ministry anymore. Because he hadn't arrived. He hadn't arrived. Now, here's my question. How do we determine our effectiveness for God? How do we determine our effectiveness for God? How? Dan, how do you determine effectiveness for God?
I don't think we can. I think we just do what he's leading us to do.
Was it effective?
If it was in his strength, yes.
How do you determine your effectiveness for God? How? How do you determine your effectiveness for God? Someone said looking backwards? You know, looking backwards, I don't see myself as very effective. Because my focus looking backwards is what? I'm going to focus on the stuff I wish I hadn't done, not the stuff God did. You with me? Remember what I taught you about effectiveness? It's a backward look and a forward look. It's both. But for us, it's got to be a forward look. If you spend your time looking backwards, most of us, and I'm going to say 99% of people in this room, if you're looking backwards, you're focusing more on stuff that you wish you hadn't done, not something great you did. You with me? So, how can I understand effectiveness? Well, for me, I think it looks like this. I try to start every day saying this, Lord, how could I be effective today? You know, when you start the day, and maybe you and your wife are kind of poking at each other a little bit, well, poking back for a long period of time is not what? Not effective. So, people should stop doing that. When they're being mean to their husbands early in the morning.
Right, you want to look backwards.
No, we don't look backwards. See, there's the whole point. There she is wanting to go backwards. No, it's a forward look, a forward look. No. So, it's an ongoing thing. The verse points to an ongoing thing. Now, how can I be effective today? To make that determination, we must assess honestly whether, here's your fill-in, the characteristics Peter talks about are present and what? Growing. You want to know how you're effective? All right, how are you doing here with this? How are you doing with goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly love? How are you doing in those areas of your life? Take a hard look at your own self. How am I doing in these areas? And I'm not talking about having a great day all the time. How am I growing? How am I growing? How do we grow in humility? How do you grow in humility? Well, easy. You just play Auburn. You did not think you were going to escape this today, did you?
Not in life.
Watch this. How am I growing? How is God using what's going on in Grady's life to help me grow? Hey, watch this. How is what God's using in Grady's life helping the rest of us learn how to pray, learn how to grow, learn how to seek after God? We see someone, you're going to see this in a minute. It really gets down to that brotherly kindness means this. I am willing to carry the burden that I see in other people's lives. We are here today as a fellowship, as a group. We carry that burden. You know, we pray for you college kids. I know you don't think we do. We pray for you guys. We carry that burden that we have. When you're on the when you're traveling or when you're overseas somewhere, we carry that burden with you. And that's exactly what effectiveness is. How well am I really coming and developing these characteristics that he's talking about, and how am I growing? How are they increasing in my life every single day? Because watch this. There's your filling coming up. I think that you either are growing or you're spiritually sick or living with unconfessed sin or indifference. If you're not growing, if you're not spiritually growing, and you're not developing these characteristics in your life, look at me. You are spiritually sick. You say, well, that's kind of harsh. Yes. But here's my point. When I'm sick, okay, what do I feel like doing? Nothing. When I'm sick, where's my focus? Is my focus on me getting well, or is my focus on you understanding I'm not well? You with me? Angie's not been feeling good this week. We never talked about how he gets well. He kept focusing on what was wrong with him, how he wasn't feeling good. And that's all of us. When we're sick, we focus on ourselves, and we want you to know we're sick, or we want you to know things aren't going good for us right now. Well, what I'm saying is this. I told you, here's your feeling. Complacency is really one of Satan's greatest weapons against the kingdom of God. If he can get you to become indifferent or complacent in your walk with God, and you are not focusing on these characteristics, and you're not focused on growing, okay, then you're going to move into a spiritual indifference, which I think in time leads to a spiritual sickness. And when the spiritual sickness kicks in, all of a sudden now my focus is on myself, and I don't want to do a thing to be effective for the kingdom of God. And if that's the enemy, that's how I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you feeling like I don't feel good as a believer. I'm mad at God. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like what's going on. So here's what I'm going to do. Nothing. I'm going to do nothing. That's how I'm going to attack. Or you're short-sighted in what God wants to do in and through you. What does God want to do in you? Well, you know, really, I don't think anything. I'm not really someone God could really work through. I'm not someone God could really use. I'm not like you, Brother Harry. I'm not like other people. You know, I'm just kind of me. Yeah, but I want to tell you this. The kind of me people are the people that probably God uses the most. The people who are just who they are, those are the people God uses the most. Because they know who they're trusting, they know who they're walking with, they know what's going on in their world. And you know what? There's no superstars in this kingdom of God. We're all just light that's supposed to shine. No superstars here. You know? And when we ever start, watch this. If I ever start acting like a superstar, do me a favor. Fire me. Please, fire me. Because the last thing I want to be is a superstar. That's the last thing I want to be. Now, in our lives, watch this. You may have fallen into the trap of being, here's your fill-in, forgetful for all that God has done. No, that's you're way ahead of me. Watch this. You may have fallen into the trap of being forgetful. That's not a fill-in. Should have been. Complacency. Okay, I'll get there. There should have been a fill in forgetful. That was my bad.
I forgot it.
My pre-Alzheimer's days here. The saved man cannot live in indifference or complacency very long. You can't stay there. Okay? Someone who's blind can't see. It's a terrible thing to see that God is trying to do something in your life and you can't even see what it is God's trying to do in your life. So, short-sighted people cannot see in the distance. They can't see in the distance. You say, what do you mean by that? Because, watch this, look at me. You can't see in the distance because today is holding you hostage. Today, in many of our lives, holds us hostage, and we can't get by what's going on in our world today, in our lives today. Now, the person who has forgotten all God has done for them really misses the grace available to them, and they miss, really, God trying to initiate a new faith walk in their lives. See, the person who's effective is always looking and watching, where is God working? How do I join him? What is God doing? How do we join him? What do we do that God wants us to do? How do we get involved in what God wants? Or you sit back saying what, like some of you are today. You're sitting there going, I don't care about all this. I don't care about this. Well, I know, because you're spiritually sick. And you don't even know it. And I don't mean that to be dogging anybody, but you know something? We have to take a real strong look inside and say, are these things in our life, are they developing? Are they growing? And if they're not, get honest and say, what? I need some help here. I need some help in growing. When Grady 3 came to me a couple months ago, he said, I want to grow. Will you help me? I said, yeah, as soon as I learn how to do this myself. You know, because when he said, will you mentor me? My first thought in my mind was, oh my gosh, I'm having enough trouble mentoring myself. Never mind mentoring anybody else. So I taught him everything he needed to know. It took like, what, 25 minutes. It was over. Now go do it. Now, follow me. Therefore, my brothers, be more eager to make your calling and election sure. Hey, I'm going to get into that next week. This business of election and calling, what that really means. Matthew Henry in his commentary says this, it requires a great deal of diligence and labor, diligence as you're filling, to make sure our calling and election, there must be a very close examination of ourselves. Now, let me add this in. Was that not a filling? Thank you. I forgot to put it in red. Now, When I say this, be diligent, let's make something real clear here. This is not about being on a performance-based acceptance with God. This is not about being on a performance-based acceptance with people. It's diligence to say what? If Peter is giving us this outline of what it means to really grow, to really be able to grow, to not only know God, but to know him in such a way where I'm continually seeking, continually growing. I don't get complacent saying, okay, you know, I'm a lot more spiritual than I was last year, so I'm going to take this next year off. No. But it's not about performing well to get God to be pleased with us. God is already pleased with us when we're seeking after him. Don't you see? Now, yes, sir.
There is one thing that might help for everybody here. In verse 8, you know it says, for if these qualities are yours, as you know, you may be fixed to mention this, but if it's a poor class condition word, if and it's true, if and it's not true, if and I wish it were true, but it's not, and if it may or may not be true. And that's the way we look at it in the English. You know, if this is true, if it's not true. This word is since, first class condition. It should read, for since these qualities are yours. It's not for something.
You know, I think that's a great point. Because you're right. We look at if like, you know, maybe, I hope so. It really is talking about what? It is. It's already in you. We talked about that last week. These qualities are already inside of you. Develop them. Be diligent to develop them. Be diligent to do these things. Now, he's not talking about sinless perfection here. He's really talking about being who you are. But there's also this, okay? He's not talking about sinless perfection, but when sin has entered a believer's life, he seeks God with real repentance. He seeks God with real repentance. If these qualities in my life are not growing, if I am not doing this, since I'm not being what he already says I am, what has to take place in my life? Change. And it really comes in the form of repentance. I love the Mark 1:15 in the Amplified says this. Repent. It means change your mind with issues and regret for the past things you've done. A change of conduct for the better. To believe means to trust and cling to rely on. So when it says to repent, it goes, I'm going to change my mind for the better. I'm going to change my actions for the better. I'm going to turn around, and instead of going this way, I'm going to go the right way or the other way. Okay? Well, here's the problem with repenting. I can't even repent in my own ability. I cannot repent in my own ability. My mind and heart has got to be filled with the Spirit of God for me to understand what God's trying to do in my life. If you're trying to repent in your own ability, it's going to last about a week. But see, if I come and I say, you know, now for repentance to happen, God's Spirit that lives inside me, all these qualities that are already inside me, have to be led by the Spirit of God in such a way that the Spirit dictates to my flesh and what God desires instead of my flesh dictating to my life and what I desire. So in our lives, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Look at your own flesh. Look inside your own flesh. You know what your flesh looks like, agree? You know what your sinful nature looks like? Would you agree with me that our flesh is really fond of sin? See, I don't sin stuff I don't like. You know, remember my story? You put a plate of scalloped potatoes in front of me with $1,000. Your money is safe. It is secure. Why? I don't like scalloped potatoes. I can't get them down. Why? Because I was forced to when I was little. So after I got older and turned 18, I said to my mom, I'm never doing dishes again, and I'm never eating scalloped potatoes again. And I've never eaten scalloped potatoes since. We must fill our minds with gratitude and praise if we're ever going to get the junk outside of our minds. You got to fill your mind with attitude of praise. Okay, you got to come to a place where when you feel your flesh rearing up and you feel that sinful nature rearing up in you, there's something inside you that says, I almost have to draw a circle around myself and get inside that circle and say, God, right now, the Spirit of God has got to dictate to my flesh because my flesh wants what my flesh wants. If you don't think that's true, be on the Creek Turnpike, okay, and drive at night when it's dark and pull your car in front of me without making a signal and make me have to put my brake on. Because my flesh wants to what? Flash that light at you for cutting me off. You cut me off. Snotty little college kid cut me off. And so I flashed my light. Well, yeah, I honked, but I gave him my bright lights, too. I did both. When I'm fleshing out, I flesh out. And, of course, the Spirit of God immediately said what?
You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't flash your lights. You shouldn't beep your horn.
Hey, Harry. sounded, but I didn't say it like that.
No, I was being sweeter than what I thought you were.
That's not true. I was very sweet. I just said, Harry, you shouldn't do that.
Not quite the way I heard it. Number, here's the next thing. Peter gives a word of challenge and encouragement. Make your election sure. Should never cause you to doubt your salvation. Any fears you have about your soul, if it comes in the form of conviction that I'm not saved and you're convicted, worry. If it comes in the form of condemnation, not God. Not God. Because condemnation is not coming from God. Conviction will come from God. Condemnation does not come from God. There's attack of the enemy condemning you for the stuff you did. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Is there conviction? Yes. It says, make your election sure, shouldn't cause you to doubt. Listen to that voice that comes inside of you, and listen to that voice that's drawing you to God, not away from God. Get rid of statements like this, okay? Well, I can't do it. I can't change. I can't do that. I can't change. You know, practicing self-control is just not something I can do. Then you're spiritually sick. Because you've allowed yourself to take the lies and they become truth, and you start believing something that's not true. When we fail to hear God, it might be because we're really not really listening. When we fail to hear from God, could it be we're so busy in what's going on in our world, we don't take time to listen to God? Sometimes praying is more important about you listening to what God's trying to say back to you than what it is you're trying to say to God. Someone said one time, is it more important to read your Bible or pray? Well, obviously they're both important. To me, it's more important to read your Bible. It's more important you hear what God's got to say to you than what you got to say to God. But I think God wants you to what?
But he says you don't have because you don't ask.
Yeah, he wants you to come to him. They're you know, they're both equally balanced, but in our lives, it's got to be something that's what? Now, here's your fill-in. Satan and selfishness leads to indifference and sin. Satan and selfishness, indifference and sin. So let me put it to you this way. When I said you're not listening to God, this is what I mean, okay? If all you do every day is open up a little devotional book and read a paragraph about what God says in this devotional book that someone else is telling you, that's like taking one bite of pizza and saying, man, that was really filling. And there's too many Christians today that don't open their Bible anymore. They open some little devotional book and they read one little paragraph or maybe three paragraphs, and somehow that filled you for the whole day? No, that moves us to that indifference deal where I did as little as I could, instead of not so much how much can I do, but is there a consistency in my spending time in the Word of God to where I can learn how to grow? So Peter, looking at these characteristics, Peter speaks. And we need to dissect these a little bit. We're going to have to do that. We got to dissect these. Okay? Next week. Here's the bottom line. I don't want us to remain content. But I don't want us to be on a performance-based acceptance either. But what I want more than anything else is that we understand God's not finished with us yet. He's not finished. There is a transformation process that's ongoing in every one of our lives. And what is God going to do in that transformation process? What is he doing? What are the circumstances of life that I'm bowing my neck at right now that God is trying to use to not only get my attention, but to bring about change in my life? Get your focus on other people, off other people. And now when the circumstances are too big, I taught this to you before, let me teach it again. Here it is. Ready? in the life of Christ, his inner life controlled his outer circumstances. Never did the outer circumstances control his inner life. His inner life controlled his outer circumstances. Remember before Pilate? Pilate says, "Don't you know I have the ability to let you go?" He said, "Don't you know you have no ability except what's been given you from above?" Who's in charge of that conversation? On the cross, who's in charge on the cross? "Today you'll be with me in paradise. I thirst. John, take care of my mother. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." He's on the cross, and watch this. He's calling all the shots. He's totally in charge on the cross because his inner life controlled even the outer circumstances of the cross that was unfair. You know why? Because he didn't say, they said, "If you are the Son of God." His response was, "Since I am the Son of God." Watch this. "Well, if I'm not saved, save me now." Please throw that prayer away. That is a nothing prayer. First of all, it's not born out of conviction that you're lost, or you wouldn't say "if." And it certainly doesn't grow out of the conviction that you're saved, or you'd never pray it again. So our inner life must control our outer circumstances instead of the outer circumstances controlling our inner life. It's called transformation. I am becoming a butterfly. A 300-pound butterfly. Father God, thanks for today. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Father, thank you for Grady and what he did last night and how you used him so mightily. Thank you for G3 as we pray for him, that we're going to look forward to see, God, how you're going to turn this not only to his good, but how you're going to use this in his life and in our lives for us to look for the transformation that you want to do in our life in the same way the way you're transforming Grady's little mind right now. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that, God, we're never out of your care. And, God, it's nice to know that we're always on your mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See you next week. We'll finish this up.